Our first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The second reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 and 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John would possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork and in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in his bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased.
Well, it's been quite a week. There's a lot going on. We come into the new year, and we look forward at what might be ahead of us and what we have left behind. We have a meeting after church to talk about the future with new bylaws and a new structure, and it is an exciting time. New things. We have new members. We have new grandchildren in the midst. It's just a wonderful, wonderful start to 2022. And as I guess, except unless you owned an older Honda, I hear this week. If you have an older Honda, it had a 2022 Y2K bug in it, and so it's now 2002 in your car. So I apologize for that. If you had a 2006 or 7 Honda, you just lost 20 years. I don't know what that means exactly, but I guess we'll do the best we can. Having been one of those programmers that worked on the Y2K bug, I just find that a little bit entertaining, that here something came and bit us 20 years later that we didn't expect. Let us pray this morning. Lifter of our heads, we pray for healing in our city and in our community. We pray for care and comfort and the healing of those who are ill. So many people are suffering in this world of hurt. We pray for healing and justice for those who have been treated unkindly throughout their lives. We pray healing and prosperity for businesses that are struggling through so many challenges, and for the families that own them, and for their employees. We pray for healing and wisdom for our leaders as they strive to achieve peace and order. Amen. Well, to set the context for the reading from Isaiah that Jean read, Jerusalem was in ruins. The temple had been destroyed, and the people of Judah had been exiled to Babylon. These words that were shared by the prophet were designed to motivate the Judean exiles to embrace their faith and encourage them to return to Jerusalem and rebuild. The wise prophet evoked images of divine love and care because Isaiah wanted them to leave their fairly stable lives in Babylon and go back and attend to the rubble of Jerusalem. Well, I've never been a part of a national disaster, and I wonder what that would be like to return home and find your home destroyed by flooding or tornadoes or fires. And in the past few weeks, many Americans have faced that challenge. So how do you return, assured that you can start over, take the right steps? Well, I presume your neighbors would help, that your faith would inform you, that your family would undergird you, that the community would pull together to fight for something bigger than any one individual family. They'd want to bring back the community that they lived in and that they loved. They would want to stand up to that devastation, regardless of the dollars required, or the square feet destroyed, or the important items lost. Where does that kind of grit and determination come from? Why would they return and rebuild? Why would the exiles come back from Babylon to their destroyed cities? Well, I suspect it's memories of the safety and the love and the belonging that they found in that community. In an article from Denver this week, where over 1,000 buildings were burned by a wildfire, I saw this quote. "Usually, it's where they grew up," said Rebuilding Together CEO Carolyn Blakely. "It's where their community is. They don't want to move. They want to be where they are. They want to live in a safe and healthy environment next to their friends that they know and have built up over time." And so I suspect that's what the prophet is telling the exiles. Return to your hometown, your place of growing up. Take with you your friends and your family, your relations and your neighbors, people you can count on, people you love, people who love you, people you trust, people who trust you. For your stability is in your belonging to a community, not in the material things that you can acquire. You know, humankind is meant to be in community. That's why we come together every Sunday. We're meant to be in a place that we can call home. And when we're not in our native community, we worry about our safety and what is happening to our friends and what might happen to us. Now, John is congregating a group of people on the river. He's baptizing followers, and he is creating, by doing this, a shared experience, a community of love, a community of trust, a community that is searching for a leader, their Messiah, their way. They didn't come together to get richer in money. They didn't come to build expansions onto their homes. They came to build relationships, to share in the teachings, to find a group of people they could trust and love and work together with. Sound familiar? It's what we do. When John baptizes Jesus, the appearance of the Holy Spirit is often described in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit descends because all who are present are God's divinely created children. All who were present would soon know the teachings of the one baptized by John. All present would soon join his community led by love and trust. And as Jesus kneels or stands in the river to be baptized, it becomes evident from the descension of the Holy Spirit to all who are there that Jesus is the chosen and loved Messiah. And as the event was described in Luke verse 22, a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased." Affirmation. Affirmation from God of the divine nature of this human being who would lead these people into a community, who would teach and demonstrate every day of his life on earth that our concerns over material belongings, trappings of status, they're all misguided. We're called to follow Jesus, you know, to listen to his stories, to watch his actions, to know the truth of what God has in store for us, and to carry on those teachings into the foreseeable future. Jesus will show us what power looks like. Jesus will teach us what perfect love looks like. And you know, that's the only power worth having. It's the only power built on the bedrock of love and community. It's the only power that can't be subverted by others. Now, it can be difficult to live faithfully. I'm sure if I had my house destroyed by a tornado, I would not start out saying, "Well, thank you for sparing me." I'd probably be angry, and I'd have some angry words for God. But I suspect that before long, I'd be hard at work cleaning up and making new and offering to do what I could for others. You see, as a community, we try to live faithfully. And it takes the help of community to live faithfully because it's too darn difficult to do all by yourself. Isaiah reminds us that God paid a great price for every one of us. Isaiah wrote, "I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for you. Bring my sons and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created in my glory, whom I formed and made, are my children." Well, you've heard me say it a million times probably already, and I've only been here since June. We're called. We're called to be God's hands and eyes and ears, compassion and love in this world. I don't think it can be said enough times because it's exactly why we journey here on this earth. We don't journey to gather wealth or to improve our status in society or to gather power or to exact discipline. We journey on this earth to bring the teachings of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to absolutely everyone we meet. At your birth and your baptism, and because of your continued living in a holy community, the Holy Spirit has been implanted into each and every one of you. And just as it was in Acts 8 on the disciples, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, and he said, "Give me this ability so that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You see, the Holy Spirit cannot be purchased. The Holy Spirit is in you. And on that day, on that riverbank, and in that river, the people were baptized into God's love. Jesus Christ was baptized into God's love. The Holy Spirit descended upon all who were gathered. And on that day, a community was born. A community that lives today in our presence, scattered about the world, but still bringing the Holy Spirit to all places, especially where the Holy Spirit is needed. Love needs to be shared. Care needs to be exercised. So I encourage you to continue to worship in your community. Continue to invite others to come and see your love live and in action. Continue to share God's proclamation. You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, the pride of my life. Welcome, my friends. Welcome Christ into your community. Welcome to your community of friends, your community of trust, your community of love, because you are chosen and marked to share the Holy Spirit with each other, with every person you meet, because you are divinely created, inspired, and marked. The Holy Spirit has descended upon you. Amen.